Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, 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 and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. I'm your host, Dave Williams. Fantastic to have your company once again. Tech Talk is our opportunity to get together each week and explore the world of technology. What's accessible, what's inaccessible, and what could be a little bit more accessible. We always love to hear from you. You can contact us via email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we hear about how NaviLens codes are coming to SMA nutrition products. Hubert Pavalkovich gives his verdict on the 11 Labs reading app, which can transform different types of text document to audio. Plus, how new AI software can turn you into a music maestro in no time. That's all coming up this time on Tech Talk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Hubert Pavalkovich and Callum Stoneman. Hubert, how are you?
I'm quite sad, Dave. There's been some sad news in the world of technology with AppleVis closing down. David Goodwin announcing that he will be closing the site as he is, for various reasons which he has outlined, unable to maintain the AppleVis website anymore.
AppleVis has been with us for how long?
14 years.
Wow. That's going some in the world of tech, isn't it?
It has, and it's been quite a powerful resource to the blind and partially sighted community. You know, I myself, when I discovered it, AppleVis, I was very new to the world of Apple devices. So it was something that, for me, allowed me to train myself how to use my first iPhone, which was an iPhone 4S. So I, amongst I'm sure many other people, have experienced how useful of a resource it has been.
Indeed. And, of course, AppleVis, famed for their app reviews as well, so you can go and find out what games are accessible, or weather apps are accessible. And of course they had their awards as well.
Yes, and I think it's the app directory. If you talk about which part of AppleVis had certainly missed the most, the awards are one thing, because they pointed out active developers that focus on accessibility. But I loved the app directory, because you could easily work out whether an app is accessible, whether it's worth downloading, and see what people think. And it's the one part that I certainly, amongst many, will miss quite a bit.
So the website will be online until the end of August. And I know already the team at AppleVis have tried to explore ways in which they can keep this valuable community resource online. I suppose the first and most important thing to say about this is thank you. Thank you to everybody who has ever contributed to AppleVis, who have created resources that we've all benefited from over the years, whether you've written an app review, a how-to guide, or just some tips. Then thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to all those behind the scenes making AppleVis possible, because I know, having looked after a few community resources over the years, that you never really switch off, do you? You're sort of there morning, noon, night, weekends. And so I wish everybody connected with the site well, and thank you once again on behalf of all of us for everything you've done. Callum, what do you make of the AppleVis announcement?
It came as a surprise to me, to be honest. It really did, because there was a post, I want to say at the end of June or maybe start of July, from the AppleVis editorial team, which I think went under the radar a little bit. There wasn't really much detail, but it just said David Goodwin, the founder, had a bit of a health scare. And because of that, they'd realised the future of AppleVis. You know, there's some questions about the future of AppleVis and what happens, you know, as horrible as this is to say, what happens when, for whatever reason, David is no longer around. You know, the editorial team were looking at other options. And then suddenly, the announcement that it was closing, I don't think anyone really expected that. I think maybe we expected it to be taken over by somebody else, but not. I didn't expect it to be closing down. But it's interesting, because, like you said, yeah, you can never really switch off. You know, you could always guarantee that it would be, you know, Christmas Day and the website would go down or something, and you've got to get on and fix that. And, you know, if you look at David's announcement, I think the biggest point that he makes, really, is a few different points, but the biggest thing that he talks about is how he founded this. He did a lot of the technical work, or all of the technical work, on his own. Obviously, the work grew as the site grew, but he didn't make any money from this. He didn't, you know, this was all a voluntary thing for him, well, for all of the staff. No one made any money from it, but the more the site grew, the more it ended up being almost a full-time job, keeping an eye on it, making sure it's all working, making sure there's no spam comments being posted, you know, all the different things that they've got to manage for very little reward, really, other than, I guess, doing good for the community. But ultimately, that doesn't pay the bills. You know, if you're spending your weekends and your family holidays managing this site and not really getting anything out of it, then, you know, you've got to be fair, that can't really continue like that.
Well, once again, thank you to everybody connected with AppleViz for a monumental contribution over the years. We wish you all well, and hopefully there will be other resources in the future. I'm sure there will be, won't there, chaps? Other people are going to pop up and create other websites with app reviews and tips and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I think, you know, because we've seen AppleViz and what it was able to provide, I think someone somewhere will want to fill that gap very quickly. I mean, we've had Accessible Android that has launched over a year ago that I've seen they were celebrating their year anniversary. So I think communities like these and resources like this will launch again. And we've seen how valuable they are. I think there will be a lot of people who will want to maintain or continue something like that personally.
Indeed. And if you have a app review, or you would like to share some tips, or you've got a question about any Apple devices that you are using or might be using, then we would love to hear from you, of course, here at Tech Talk. It's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk at rnib.org.uk. Callum Stoneman, let's come to you. What's on your mind in the world of technology this week?
There's been an interesting report about Orcam this week, suggesting that they may be moving it out of the visual aids market and going more towards looking into hearing devices. There's not a great deal known about this, but I did think this was a bit of a surprising announcement, especially with the rise of wearables at the minute.
You see, well, firstly, I think it's important to say this is just a report, right? Orcam themselves haven't made a statement at time of recording. That could, of course, change. But the report, as you say, suggests that Orcam are perhaps moving away from the smart glasses and wearable reading products for blind and partially sighted people. So we will see. But if that is the case, I'm surprised at your surprise, because I think at some point, isn't there an inevitability about that?
Yeah, a little bit, I suppose. I mean, this report, or this article at least, cites one of the reasons being the rise of all these AI services that can do OCR and text recognition and image recognition. And it kind of, it doesn't say this in so many words, but it kind of suggests that they were thinking there's a lot of other services out there that can, maybe there's not really a need for Orcam anymore.
Right. If your whole business model is to make devices to read documents and recognize objects in your environment, and over the last year, of course, AI has started to do that on cell phones, often on free apps, how do you make a business competing with that?
Yeah, it is a good point, but I just thought this was, I thought there was definitely still a market for this, for those who are maybe not so technical, because at the minute, all these AI services, with the exception of maybe Envision, they all require a smartphone at least, don't they? You know, or some kind of smart device to use it with, whereas the Orcam was designed to be standalone. But it's interesting news anyway.
Indeed. Hubert, you any thoughts about this?
I don't know if I'm surprised about that, because I think what we've recently seen in the last few years is the fact that a lot of what you'd probably refer to as mainstream technology and non-specialist technology has been more inclusive and accessible to the blind and partially sighted community. So, you know, is it really surprising that the direction we're heading in is that, you know, specialist technology, I think, still has a market, but a lot more mainstream technology these days provides a lot of similar functionality, which, sadly does mean that these sorts of companies could potentially be looking at different strategies and different approaches to maintain their business.
But then there's a deeper philosophical question, isn't there, about what do we lose if we don't have specialist assistive technology? So would you give up JAWS, for example, and just live with the free screen readers?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, isn't it?
For me personally, I don't know if I would.
Right. And your Braille device, I mean, that's a specialist piece of kit. Just because mainstream kit talks doesn't mean that we're all willing to give up Braille devices, those of us who rely on them. So it seems to me like there is a role for specialist technology when it helps with efficiency and productivity and those sorts of things.
Yeah, I do wonder if it could have been priced better, going back to Orcam. I think maybe that was their mistake. You know, maybe it was a bit overpriced for what it was in some respects.
Well, just a report at this stage, we don't really know, and hopefully Orcam will set the record straight with a statement of their own sooner rather than later. All right, no Jackie Brown this week. She's away on her hollybobs. And if you are listening to us on your holidays, then we hope you're having a good one. But for now, Hubert, Callum, thank you very much. Stick around. It's another Tech Talk. Now, regular listeners, of course, will be familiar with NaviLens, those next-generation QR codes that can be scanned from further away and take you to accessible information. And we've heard in the past about interesting ways in which NaviLens codes are being used. Something else we've talked about here on Connect Radio quite a bit as well is blind parenting. And I'm a dad, and it wasn't that long ago that I was feeding my baby son. He's a big old teenager now, so he tends to feed himself. But these two seemingly unrelated areas have overlapped, and we've heard recently that SMA Nutrition have added NaviLens codes to their packaging. And to learn and help us learn more about this, we are joined by Fiona Barker, who is the brand manager with SMA Nutrition. Welcome in, Fiona, to R&IB Connect Radio. Fantastic to have you with us. Can you just kind of take us back to the beginning of this journey and tell us a bit about what inspired SMA Nutrition to incorporate the NaviLens technology into your packaging?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here. When I first saw this technology, it just seemed so exciting to me. I hadn't seen anything like it before. And the fact that it made products more accessible for blind and visually impaired parents was obviously incredibly motivating. So as a brand, we stand for making the lives of parents and children better for everyone. And so that level of inclusivity was so relevant for who we are and what we stand for. In addition to that, the NaviLens technology reads out the information on pack in the language that the phone is programmed to, in 37 different languages. So around 30% of mothers in the UK were born outside of the UK, which gives you an idea of exactly how many parents are out there with English not being their first language. So that becomes really important in terms of the accessibility of the information. But even if you are sighted, if you have a small child and you are trying to prepare formula at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's really handy to have somebody to read out that information. So it helps a huge amount of parents out there, not least blind and visually impaired parents. And that's something that we are really committed to as a business, as a brand.
Can you walk us through the process? What was involved in getting the NaviLens technology added to your product packaging? What were the challenges and how did you overcome those?
It's been relatively simple, to be honest with you. I googled NaviLens and got in touch with the company. So the guys there are absolutely incredible people and so warm and welcoming, and they took me through all that the technology could do, which was just thrilling. It was certainly something beyond what I'd ever seen before. So I was really engaged with that. So then the key thing was to make sure that everybody else within the business was aware of this and understood the benefits. And that was simply a communications task. Everybody who I've ever spoken to about NaviLens and including it onto the packaging has been really excited. So it's not been a difficult thing to persuade people to be engaged with. As soon as you start to say, well, actually, can you imagine trying to shop for something but not being able to see it? It really becomes very obvious that this is a great technology. So once we'd agreed that, it's a matter of getting the codes off the NaviLens group. The codes are specifically compatible with the NaviLens app, so you just need to download the free app from your usual app store. The codes are made specifically for each individual product. So for example, SMA Follower Milk 800 gram would have a different code from SMA Toddler Milk 200 ml. And they are produced by the NaviLens company. And then all we need to do is to design the user experience. And by that, I mean the information that you get when the code reads the app and in which order. So that's something we try to think really hard about. Now, I am sympathetic to a visually impaired experience, but I'm not empathetic because I don't experience that myself. So I tried really hard to think about it in the way that a parent would be using the information. So we know from 3 meters away, it will read out the product name and age suitability because that's really important in our category. As you get closer, it reads fun to pack information and also key things like allergens, which is so important for being able to choose the right product for you, or even the fact that it's halal certified. And then when you're very close to the product, it reads out the preparation instructions first, which is so important for that day-to-day usage. And what NaviLens has done as a first for us, which we are so thankful for, is they have included a button within that app that takes the user straight through to our 24/7 care line should they need additional help, support, information, etc. So it becomes a really all-encompassing, useful experience. But what I would say to your listeners is if at any point you are using the app, using the product, please give me feedback because I can only learn from people who are experiencing this for themselves. And I'm always really hungry to know how we can help in greater ways.
Let's talk specifically then about the benefits for parents who are blind or partially sighted, or even, you know, carers. Maybe you're looking after somebody else's children. And I always take that as being like the greatest compliment I ever received as a blind person was being entrusted with the care of somebody else's children. You know, I think sometimes sighted people perhaps wonder how on earth do blind people parent, and you know, we're not the first and we won't be the last, and we talk to each other and we learn from each other. But just when it comes to feeding our children, let's just talk about those specific benefits then of having NaviLens code on the pack. That kind of user journey, what do you envisage a blind or a partially sighted parent or carer to be doing in that situation? Where do you think it makes the biggest difference?
I mean, I've spoken to some visually impaired parents, and one thing that struck me is they talked about the ability to browse on the shelf and going to fixture and being able to look at the information of more than one product so that you can make informed choices is something they talked about as being quite difficult, and yet seems such a simple thing for a sighted parent. So within formula, you obviously have the different stages. So you have suitable from birth, you have from 6 months, and then you have the toddler milk, which is suitable for 1 year plus. There's various different feeding issues that you might need a suitable product for, whether that is colic, whether that's reflux, etc. So being able to go to that fixture and find a product which is suitable for your child and having agency to do that seems incredibly powerful to me, and certainly has been responded to beautifully from the visually impaired parents that I've spoken to. But then you have the day-to-day experience, and I had thought about it from a point of view of seeing it in store. I hadn't necessarily thought about it in terms of finding it on your kitchen shelf or in your kitchen cupboard. And again, this is what the visually impaired parents that I've worked with have talked to me about. Just being able to find it inside the house is another challenge. So it's great to know that we can help there. And then, as I say, I mean, when you have a child, you are preparing formula at least twice a day, depending on their age, many, many more times. And therefore, each of those times, you want to be able to do that without necessarily having to ask for help every single time. And I think agency and independence have been some of the key words that the visually impaired parents that I have spoken to have said to me, which really strikes me. So as it reads out those preparation instructions, what that means is you can follow those instructions without having to have anybody else read those out for you. So my hope is it gives that level of independence, agency, and independent choice to visually impaired parents.
Absolutely. So it's knowing you've got the right one that's age appropriate, and then obviously understanding the preparation instructions. You know, I'd struggle to remember now, you know, what the ratio is, like so many grams of, you know, of SMA to, you know, depending on the age and things like that. So having those preparation instructions and having those in an accessible format, that is so important. And of course, we all access information in different ways. Some of us use Braille, some of us use speech, some of us use magnification, some of us use a mix of all of those. And that, I think, it was one of the key benefits of NaviLens is that you can be sure that, you know, unlike a traditional QR code, actually, when you follow a NaviLens code, you will be taken to some accessible information. So let's just talk about how that app works then in conjunction with the product packaging. So you have to go and download the NaviLens app to your device, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's available for free in your usual app store, be that Android or Apple. It's really quick and easy to use and install.
Okay. And then so you launch the app and you point your phone just in, you don't have to be too precise, because that again is one of the things about NaviLens, is you're just going to point it in the general direction of the NaviLens code, and it picks that up, and you're able to get that all that information about ingredients and instructions. Now, you touched on this earlier. You said there's also a button to actually speak to a human.
Yes. Yeah, so there is a button within the app. So this has been specifically designed for us with NaviLens. So once you've scrolled down from the preparation instructions, there is a button where it can call straight from the app to our 24/7 care line. So you can get through to our experts online, and they can help to support parents with any queries, any questions. It could be about formula, it could be about feeding, it could just be saying, I'm having a really rubbish day, can you just say something nice to me? And all of that is absolutely valid and fine, because parenting is not easy.
Right. And like parenting, is that line
24/7? It is 24/7, absolutely. Brilliant. You're right, parenting is definitely 24/7.
Isn't it just? Tell us about other parents then. I mean, I'm very aware that those of us who are blind or partially sighted are in the minority. Do you think this helps other parents as well?
Well, as I said, there's about 30% of mothers in the UK who were born outside of the UK, which then tells you that English isn't necessarily their first language. So again, it's really important that NaviLens reads out the information in 37 different languages, which means that for people whose first language is not English, it's much more accessible for them. And again, you talked about caring for other people's children. So you've got different generations of people who may or may not have as much English as each other. So preparation instructions are really important for children's safety as well as anything else. So again, that's super important. But I mean, you've done parenting. It is 24/7. If you need to look at small information in the middle of the night, I don't think there is a sighted English person who wouldn't appreciate some support and help from somebody reading out what they needed to do at 3 a.m. at all.
Do you envision this technology influencing the broader consumer goods industry? Do you foresee other brands perhaps adopting similar technologies?
I sincerely hope so, Dave. I mean, to me, it is so exciting that this is possible. I see more and more brands taking up the ability to use NaviLens code. So I think there's been launches happened in last week, and the guys from NaviLens are telling me that there's more coming up in the coming weeks. So it's already across a number of different categories within retailers at the moment. And the more that it becomes the norm, the more it is better for everyone. And as I say, it's not just blind and visually impaired people who benefit from it. I think all consumers can benefit, which is really nice because you don't want to feel othered by the technology that you're using. The fact that everybody can use the same technology and get different benefits out of it is really wonderful.
Can you elaborate on the partnership between SMA Nutrition and RNIB? What did we do here at RNIB?
The RNIB are an amazing group of people. They have been so supportive. For a start, you guys were collaborating with NaviLens to develop the technology in the first place. So really fantastic steps forwards in terms of increasing that level of accessibility. But John from the RNIB, who was so instrumental in developing the technology, has also been really supporting me in terms of understanding how well that experience is executed from a visually impaired perspective. He's been talking about the broader accessibility in terms of things that we do. So we are launching a new brand website in September. And we've talked about the accessibility of that with screen reading, etc. And he's been helping us to understand some of those key areas that needs to be improved. And again, even with social media communication, how we can get better at that, even by adding audio descriptions within what we are doing. So it's about being able to be aware of the things that you don't notice are inaccessible for visually impaired parents. And that's been really important in terms of the way that we've rolled out the relaunch of our SMA Nutrition brand.
Any plans to roll out to other products or other regions beyond the UK?
Certainly, there will be a greater number of products within the SMA Nutrition. So we have SMA Little Steps, which is our mainstream brand, and those codes will be going on to those packs. There is Cerelac, which is a global brand for infant food. So it does cereals and snacks, etc. But overarchingly, what's been really great within the business is lots and lots of people are wanting to hear about it. They're wanting to learn from the experience, the process, and mostly the feedback from our consumers. So this is what I'd really encourage. If there is good feedback, if there is things that we can learn, we'd love all of it from your listeners, because that will help us to roll this sort of technology out to a wider group of brands. And also to make sure that we are giving the best quality experience that we possibly can.
Right. And on that point about collecting and analysing feedback from users, when I scan a NaviLens code, are you collecting metrics on that, or is there a channel through which I should direct my feedback?
Yes, we will collect the metrics from the NaviLens code. So the NaviLens company will be able to tell us how many times it's been scanned. And that's simply so that we can see that there is a strong usage of the app. But equally, as I say, the 24/7 care line, if you want to use the app, hit the button and give us some feedback and say thank you, or this is great, or actually this is terrible, could you do this better? We'd really love to hear from you, because the more information that we can get, the better we can make the experience.
And what's the next step? What are future, you know, or additional features can users expect from this integration of NaviLens with SMA nutrition products?
I mean, in terms of next steps, what we're trying to do is to make as many of the touch points that we communicate with as accessible as possible. We've already learned quite a lot from the RNIB and from some of the visually impaired parents and influencers that we've been working with in terms of social media accessibility. But, you know, there's all sorts of touch points that we can look at, from online shopping. I know that I've been speaking to John about some of the areas there to try and see how we can improve the readability of the information that's on screen from that perspective. So what we will do is we will continue to listen, we will continue to learn, we will continue to take every opportunity we can as technology is developed. I'm a brand manager, so technologically relatively useless, but always really keen to hear what has been developed, or to challenge when people feed back to me what they need. And then I can ask people who are much more technologically able than I am how we can make that possible.
And do you have any resources or support available for parents who are blind or partially sighted to help them make use of NaviLens? Obviously, you've explained in this conversation how it works, but do you have any videos or ways in which we can, you know, just get a little kind of how-to?
Yeah, so we are going to be launching all of that with the new website, which will be live in September. We will be also doing a social media campaign, so making sure there are how-to videos available and going through Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, a lot of these apps and social media areas that people are using on a regular basis, to try and help sort of spread the word, show how easy it is, and make sure that people are comfortable with that. And of course, we will be working through our Shepa media as well to make sure that it becomes really clear how you use NaviLens.
And are there any partnerships or other initiatives planned to further support the visually impaired community? Are you planning to continue to work with blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we continue to work with the RNIB. And make sure that we are doing everything that we can to try and increase that accessibility, increase the awareness, and, you know, really encourage other people within the consumer goods community to join in and hopefully make sure that lots of products are more accessible.
And what else are you doing to help build awareness? I'm totally blind, and when I know there's a NaviLens code there, I can open my app and scan it, but often I'm just not aware in the first place that it's on there. So are you doing other things to help kind of build that awareness?
Well, because it is a core message in our advertising going forward, so that message will be getting out across a lot of social media channels. And so we target people within that sort of parenting age. I think it's really important that everyone knows about this technology. And then what is absolutely wonderful about parents is they talk to each other an enormous amount and ask each other advice. So that word of mouth is going to be fantastic. And certainly I hope your listeners will spread the word to other parents to make sure that that accessibility is well known. We've worked with a number of visually impaired parents who are also influencers, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners will also follow. So we've asked them to work with us and spread the word about NaviLens and SMA nutrition also. So we're just trying to sort of build up that drumbeat of awareness over the next few months.
Yeah, that's so important. And there are VI parenting groups on Facebook and other places where you're absolutely right. We do talk to each other all the time. Is there anything we can do to help improve awareness among retail staff and healthcare providers?
Absolutely. I mean, what has been really wonderful for me over the last few months is how enthused that retailers have been when we've gone to present this technology to them. So I think there is programs that we could be doing to educate retail staff, pharmacy staff as well. I was speaking to a group of HCPs just last week. There was a key conversation that was happening. There was pharmacists, there was midwives, there was GPs. And again, spreading the word amongst that community is really important. So everywhere we go at this point in time, we are really trying to talk heavily about NaviLens, the benefits, and how it can really impact people's lives in a positive way. I'm sure you are probably really familiar. There's an RNIB video which just shows people going shopping in a store, but the store has no packaging information on any of the products. And all these sighted people are utterly confused and saying, well, this is dreadful. What an experience. And at the end, they say, well, this is the experience of visually impaired people. And they go, oh. And we've shown that video from the RNIB to so many people. And everyone we share that with is incredibly moved. So that is a massive mission of mine. I'm trying to make sure that as many people as possible get to see, understand, and know about NaviLens. It's a great technology, and so we're really grateful for the RNIB for that.
Fiona, I really appreciate you joining us and sharing this announcement. Really excited. Can you just share with listeners what's the best place to learn more? What's the next step? Where can we find out a bit more about this?
I think it's always really great to come and visit our website. There's a lot more information on there. So please look up the SMA website. And next steps will be the packs are hitting the shelves at the moment. So, you know, go look for the product in store if it's suitable for you and your needs. But, you know, keep an ear out, I guess, for all the stuff that we'll be doing on social media and all the other brands that will be coming on board, because what we hope to do is make sure that lots of different products become really accessible for everyone.
Fiona Barker, brand manager with SMA Nutrition, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Time now on Tech Talk to talk reading apps. Now, we have all seen various reading solutions for reading text, whether it is reading using synthetic speech or reading using more natural sounding voices, reading text, converting text into audio files, various options like that. Now, one solution that became quite popular last year and I've certainly discovered was 11 Labs. Now, this website uses AI, natural sounding AI voices, to help read various content. So how it worked in the basic fashion is you'd go to the 11 Labs website and you'd enter a load of text into a text field, select which voice you want to read it to you, press a button, and it would then take that text, convert it to audio, read it in audio, and create a file for you that you can download it, or alternatively just play using the web client. That was very good. You can even, if you subscribed to a premium version of 11 Labs, create your own AI voice using your own voice, which, if you found that fascinating, I guess that is one option. I don't know, I'd find it quite strange, really. I hear enough of my own voice, don't know if I want it to read things to me as well. However, now they have released their 11 Labs reader app. It's very new, so let's open it and show you what it does. So there's not much to this app when it comes to what's on the screen, which makes it considerably easier to navigate. So I'll take you to the top, put my finger in the top left corner of the screen.
Home.
I'll show you what we've got here.
Import button, image, possibly add.
So import, fairly self-explanatory. You can add a file, a text file to convert of some description.
Or switch button.
Then you've got switch buttons that you can select as to which types of files you want to see. So you can see all files.
Text, switch button.
So text files. So if you enter text on its own into the app, you can see them.
Links, switch button.
Links.
Files, switch button.
Files are things that you've imported.
This is a piece of text which will be used as a demo for the 11 Labs app demo and the reading foo text, 69%.
So that's a text thing I've entered previously to test the app.
This is a test. Apparently this app is supposed to...
That's another test I've done.
Cinderella, file, 0%.
Then these are preloaded files by the app that you can get to be read out for you.
Goldilocks, The Emperor's New Clothes, The Little Match Girl, The Tale of Peter Rabbit, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
So then now you're into what are tabs, but doesn't really read them as tabs.
Voices.
Home, voices.
Account.
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 The account's always good to have. I always think if it means you get the most out of the service, then it's always beneficial. I would say swiping through the app using the standard left and right with one finger is probably the best way to navigate this app. You can explore by touch, but I found you don't always find exactly what you are looking for. What we're going to do now is try and do a little piece of text and get it to read it. And then I'll show you what options you've got in regards to that text, or more in regards to exporting it and what you can do and how you can do it at this stage.
Import button, image, possibly add.
So we'll tap on the import button.
Reader, add content, close button, write text.
So you can write text.
Import URL.
Import it from a link.
Upload file.
You can upload a file, so a Word document or anything of some, like a text file of any description, which would be quite nice if you want to read something longer.
Upload file.
So we're going to write text.
Import, write text. Text field is editing. Word mode, insertion point at start.
So it now brought up a text field and I can just type in some text and then we'll get it read out. So I'm going to do some writing. I'm going to now tap listen and we will get it to be read out to us. So I will turn off speech just so VoiceOver doesn't interrupt the start of the reading, which it can do. So
listen.
So there's the listen button. I will now turn speech off and double tap with one finger.
Speech off.
This is a demonstration of the 11 Labs Reader app for RNIB Tech Talk, showing reading text and looking at what can be done with the text afterwards.
There we go. That is the text. So as you've heard, pretty natural. You can also choose different voices to read it. Let's have a look at the screen now that we've played a text.
Speech on. Go back. But help button, more button, progress, zero, select voice button.
So you can select voice. Let's have a look here.
Activate to dismiss voices, close button, all, switch button. My voices, switch button.
So you can look at all voices or your own voices.
Sarah News. Laura, social media. Charlie, conversational. George, narration. Selected, Callum, characters. Liam, narration. Charlotte, characters. Alice, news. Matilda, narration. Will, social media. Jessica, conversational. Eric, conversational. Chris, conversational. Brian, narration. Daniel, news. Lily, narration. Bill, narration. Bill, narration.
So as you can tell, there's a long list of voices here. Let's just pick a random one.
Eric, conversation. Liam, select. George, Charlie, Laura. Sarah News.
Sarah News. So I'm going to turn speech off again just in case it starts reading straight away.
Speech off.
This is a demonstration of the 11 Labs Reader app for RNIB Tech Talk, showing reading text and looking at what can be done with the text afterwards.
So you can get it read out in different voices. I know you can create your own voices, as I've mentioned earlier. I'm not sure if that's available in the app, but again, it is fairly new. So I imagine a lot more features will come to the app as it develops. Let's have a look what else we've got on the screen.
Go back, help, button, more, button, progress, 0, 08 of 0, 08. Select voice, button, seat back, button, reached end. Seek forward, button, speed, 1.0, speed, 1.0x, button.
So yes, not much on the screen, quite simple, quite nice, which I always think is a very much positive when it comes to any app.
Reach, seat, select, progress, more, button. Help, more, button.
This is what I want to look at more, because there is options where you can share this audio and do things with it. And that screen is not the most accessible at the moment anyway.
Save, dimmed, button.
So it has brought up some options on the screen, but VoiceOver just said save, dimmed, button. So let's swipe to the right.
Save, dimmed, button.
Nothing. Let's swipe to the left.
Save, dimmed, button.
Nothing. Now, on the iPhones, you've got a feature called screen recognition, which will try and help to identify more objects on the screen. And this is what we are going to use here.
Describe images. On. Screen recognition. Off.
So screen recognition is currently off, but as I've got it in my rotor, I can quickly turn it on.
On.
And now we will explore the screen again and see what we find.
This is a demonstration of delete, delete button.
So sometimes it takes a while for it to kick in.
Share, coming soon. Share, button.
So share, it says coming soon, so it's not available yet, but it will be soon, which is quite nice.
This is a Den Labs reader show. Save, coming soon, button.
Save, coming soon.
More, button. Info, button. Back, button. Back, info, more, but save, coming soon. This is a Den Labs reader. Share, coming soon. Delete, delete. This is a demonstration of adjustable. Zero, oh, zero, button. Button, button. 1.0x, back, button, info, button.
So as you can tell, it has improved certain things slightly, certainly the accessibility of the more screen, but it's not improved it massively, and a lot of the functions are not actually available yet, so you need to wait for some of them. But the fact that they are coming soon is a nice reassurance, because what I'd like to be able to do is read these files with the app, but then export them to listen to later on if needed for whatever purpose. That is the 11 Labs reader. As I said, fairly new. Accessibility is not too bad. I would say it could be more accessible, but it's certainly not too bad in my opinion. But what I am curious to see is what this app will be able to do in the future, because 11 Labs can do so much more nowadays, including generating sounds and things like that. So I would be very much curious as to how much of these features and when will make it into the 11 Labs reader app, or if it will just, well, remain to be the reader app. Let us know what you think. Do you use other apps? Do you maybe use Speech Central, which is a similar alternative, but we'll have a look at that as well in future demos, I'm sure. That is 11 Labs reader here on RNIB Tech Talk.
And now on Tech Talk, let's hear some music.
When the night is alive with the swinging beat, there's a voice on the air that's so darn sweet. It's Dave Williams in his prime, Tech Talk and Sublime every time. He's got a guest this week, oh what a delight, Darren Heartland, man with tech insight, creating magic with pseudo flair, tech innovations beyond compare.
Calling all music lovers or musicians or those of us who just like to tinker. If your social media is anything like mine lately, you might have stumbled across people publishing AI-assisted music or music generated by AI. Well, I wanted to know how this works. Is it fully accessible? What are the costs, the challenges, some of the risks? And so I reached out to somebody I met around 20 years ago, Darren Heartland, who is a DJ. He's a kind of a wannabe musician, and somebody I first met when he was on the disco circuit. And Darren joins us now. Welcome in, Darren. Fantastic to have you with us. Discoing then, gosh, that's rolling back the years. Are you still doing that?
No, I actually packed that in 2008 because I got sick of the 3 a.m. finishes, basically, and lugging speakers around everywhere.
Yeah, but you're still passionate about music, right? You're still involved in DJing.
Oh, gosh, yeah. When I had a partner that passed away in 2011, and with nothing to do and a way to kind of get over my grief, if you like, I approached an internet radio station to kind of just fill my time up, and I've never looked back since.
You ended up running it?
No, I didn't end up running it, but I got a good insight into how that worked, and I started to learn about like servers and streaming and stuff like that. And then like 3 years after, I set up Treehouse Radio, which has now been going. You've seen, we're actually celebrating our 10th birthday in October.
And before we talk about AI and music, just give us a sense of, you know, what's your interest in music? What kind of music do you like to play? What kind of music do you like to create? Do you have a particular? I mean, we were just before we started recording, we were talking about mashups. Do you have a favorite mashup?
I like mashups that actually sound like that was how the song was originally intended. Some mashups are very clever, and they're very well mixed together, and all the chords are right and all the melodies are right, but it doesn't sound, it still sounds like two songs mashed up into one. I like it where they take two or three songs and mash it up into one, and it actually does sound like that's how it was intended to be in the first place.
I remember there was an Ed Sheeran and Marvin Gaye one that was doing the rounds a few years back, and I really quite like that one.
That would have been the Let's Get It On.
That's
that
it.
Would have been
yeah,
that
yeah,
one,
yeah,
wouldn't
yeah.
it?
I thought that was brilliant. I really enjoyed that one. So tell us about this service that you've been playing with then, because I've noticed on your social media of late, every so often you'll post an AI-generated or AI-assisted. I mean, just explain for listeners what it is you're kind of putting out there at the moment.
I got interested in AI when ChatGPT came on the scene, and I mean, that's kind of exploded, and that kind of piqued my interest to see how it would fit into my life as a running Treehouse, you know, doing social media and stuff like that. And then I heard about this service called Suno, which is S-U-N-O. And I think Jonathan Mosen posted about it first on his podcast. So I thought, okay, I'll take a look at this. And I couldn't believe the quality in terms of sound quality, but the actual realism of the kind of music it was putting out. So I signed up for an account. And at the start, I was just picking up lyrics, like pre-existing lyrics. Like, for example, I've done like reimaginings of things like Robbie Williams' Candy and a couple of Level 42 songs and Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, and asked the system to do it in a totally different style. Say you've got like Never Gonna Give You Up. I had that done in a style that was very similar to My Chemical Romance.
It was like metal.
It was, yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
And it
came
out really well. And I thought, this is amazing. So then I started coming up with my own ideas for lyrics. And it's all... And I just love it because I'm not a... I can play keyboards and I can play drums and I can play bass guitar. I can play guitar a little. But I am no virtuoso. So this gives me an outlet for kind of like the stuff that's in my head that I would have loved to have recorded back in the day.
So can you just explain how it works? You referred to ChatGPT there, and I think most people probably by now hopefully are aware that ChatGPT, you give it some words, you give it a question, you give it a prompt, and it comes back at you with a load of text, basically. And it's using statistics and a large language model to generate that text. So if you want an article in the style of, I don't know, Stephen Fry explaining the offside rule pitched at nine-year-olds, it will do that quite nicely. That's how ChatGPT works. So it's all about what you ask it and how you ask it, and you can ask for a style and detail and so on. So does this Suno sort of music generation AI, does that work in a similar way?
You can do it where it gives you like an idea of a prompt, like create a folk song about being heartbroken, okay? That's its suggestion, but then you go into the edit field and you can put in whatever you like. So I could say, write me a jingle for my radio show called whatever it's called, hosted by whatever the name is, and whatever the music is played in that show, and it will come up with the music and the lyrics. Now, you won't always like the lyrics because it's AI generated, so you know you might want to change those lyrics, but it will do it. But there's the custom mode where you can put in your own lyrics, or you can get it to generate lyrics, and then you can, there's another box where you tell it what style you want it in, so you can say catchy jazz funk, riff heavy, male vocal, you know, and whatever else, you know, you feel you want to add in, like bass guitar, drums, keyboards, brass section, and then it will give you two different versions for the prompt they put in. And then you can extend that prompt, you can redo the prompt, you can edit the lyrics. And there are things called tags that you put within the lyrics that tells it what where the verses should go, where the chorus should go, if there should be an instrumental break or a guitar solo or whatever. So it's pretty flexible.
So these areas where you're inputting your information, are they just edit boxes that kind of blank canvases? So you can basically just say whatever comes to mind. You're not choosing from a predetermined list.
The only thing is, if you try, for example, to say, I want a K-pop heavy metal folk song, it's going to struggle. So it will come up with something, but it may not be what you intended it to come up with. But
I feel like you might have asked it to do that.
Oftentimes you'll do something like that just to see what result it comes up with, and the result is actually pretty good. It's not what you thought it might be, but it's actually something that you can use.
So this sounds like a ton of fun. Just talk, if you would, a little bit about the accessibility of it then. You're a screen reader user, right?
Yeah, I use JAWS and NVDA. Now, I have to say that it used to work okay with JAWS and pretty damn good with NVDA. Now, it's not great with JAWS because you can't select whether you want the custom mode or the kind of pre-done formulaic mode, and you can't select whether you want it to be a song or an instrumental. But with NVDA, that is still accessible because there are clickable elements that you can locate easily. So NVDA is the way to go if you want to be using it for now. I have reached out to them to tell them that it's not great for accessibility with certain screen readers, but I've yet to hear anything from them.
Right, and this is all in the web browser?
Yes, it's all browser-based. I use Chrome, and it's pretty good. I dare say, I've used the, what's that other one? Brave as well, I've used, and it works pretty much the same as Chrome in terms of layout and how it lays things out. So
you're essentially crafting your prompts to try and get something that you find sonically amusing or entertaining or whatever, and you're able to keep doing that. It's kind of iterative, so it's generating two versions, and you go, oh, okay, well, I like that one, but I want you to do more of the solo, or give it a bit more oomph in the final chorus or whatever it is, and you can tell it those things, and then you get another version to audition.
Yes, it's all in it, like very much like any AI system like ChatGPT or any of these other ones. It's all in the, it's called prompt engineering. It's all in the prompts that you give it, and it works in the same way that computers work, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If you just tell it, I want a pop song, it doesn't really tell it anything. So the more specific you can be, the more likely you are to get a result that sounds how you thought it might sound.
Right, and obviously you'll be quite knowledgeable about music because you've listened to a lot of music through your DJing, so you're able to kind of reference that experience, presumably.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good idea that, you know, for example, indie might work well with emo, that might work well with might work well with classic rock, but it wouldn't necessarily work well with new age. You know, so I can make those differentials. But what it will do is when you start prompting for the style, it will give you underneath the edit box, it gives you a list of suggestions of things that you might add. So all you have to do is enter on those and it adds it to your prompt.
Mm. And then where are we, Darren? I mean, you might not feel qualified to answer this, but I'll ask anyway. Where are we in terms of, you know, copyright and stuff like that? Because obviously, if you put in the lyric of a popular song that somebody else has written, what happens with that?
Strictly speaking, you're not supposed to do it. So I'll say that up front. I was just doing it to see what would happen, and I may play something on, you know, one of my radio shows. But I wouldn't start distributing it to people because, you know, it's just, it's against the terms and conditions, and I don't particularly want my account banned. But yeah, there is, I know there's another system called Udio, which actually will recognize lyrics from copyrighted songs and that it won't actually generate anything for you. So and maybe Suno might have to implement something like that at some point.
YouTube does this, doesn't it? If you try and post copyrighted material onto YouTube, they've got algorithms that will detect that and close you down. And you can understand from an artist's perspective, obviously, if somebody's reusing their work, yes, particularly for financial gain, then they're going to be a bit concerned about that.
To be honest, at the moment, with the quality that it is just about broadcast quality. But I wouldn't be happy, for example, even taking the best quality stuff, sound quality wise, from Suno, I wouldn't be happy trying to sell it because it's just not good enough quality at the moment. You know, there are facets within the songs that shouldn't be there sometimes. You know, it adds something that makes it sound. Do you remember the old MP3, awfully encoded MP3 from 20 years ago? You got that
watery kind sort of vibe. Yeah.
You got that underwater kind of vibe going on. It sometimes does that. It does tend to do better with instrumental tracks because I would imagine vocals are quite hard to generate in an AI sense. But it's good fun, you know. It's good fun just to do. You know, I use the instrumental tracks that I've generated as music beds for my radio shows, and they sound good.
And what's been your favourite track or outcome or thing that you've produced, Darren?
Because now you are able to upload audio snippets. So, for example, I uploaded something that Andre Louis produced with his permission. I uploaded a 20-second snippet from one of his pieces, and I created a rap song out of it, and it turned out so well. And I'm not really a big fan of rap music, but all the rap stuff that I've produced through Suno has turned out really well. So I just even got me into rap music.
Wow, there you go. And I mean, Andre, obviously we know, is a producer and a musician. Yeah. Is he playing with this sort of stuff as well, or is he not?
No, he's not playing with it, not that I've seen anyway. Mm. But, you know, he said to me, you know, a lot of musicians are getting up in arms about this and saying it's the death of music and da-da-da-da-da. And his opinion is, particularly using his music, he says whatever gets the creative juices flowing, and that's what some musicians are using it for, to give them ideas, taking some of their ideas further and in a direction they wouldn't necessarily have gone. He said, you know, it adds something, and as long as it's not taking away, you know, he's got no problem with it at all.
And presumably when the synthesizer came along, there will have been people who will have said, oh, this is the death of orchestras or acoustic instruments. And of course, everybody still loves to go and hear an acoustic guitar or an acoustic piano, you know. So actually, it's just another tool in the toolbox.
It's another tool, you know. When the likes of the Human League came out and it was all sequenced and all the rest, it's not like it used to be in my day, da da da, and all that kind of business. But you know, there are some of the most popular acts around are those that are using, you know, electronics. You know,
so there are clearly some conversations and some risks and some legal things to be aware of. But in terms of accessibility, it sounds like it's going pretty well. Let's talk about the costs. Then is there a subscription, or how does that work?
Okay, so there are three tiers from what I can see. There's a free tier which allows you a certain amount of credits a day. I think it's 50 credits a day, which will allow you to generate 5 pieces of music. Now that it does include, so for example, if you give it a prompt and you produce something, that's 10 credits used, so 5 for each thing it gives you. Now if you want to redo those, that will, it doesn't class it as the same thing, so it's still classed as another 10 credits used, so that's 20 credits on one song if you want to redo anything. There's a paid tier which is about $10 a month, which will give you 2,500 credits a month, which is that's the tier I'm on at the moment, and I've never run out of credits yet. and I do a lot of work on it. But there's also, I think it's $24 a month, which is 10,000 credits.
If you're a real hardcore user, yeah.
I would imagine it would be good for those that want to do, you know, this royalty-free type music. You know, they could make good use of it. And I imagine that's who it's aimed at.
Righto. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to kind of share with us a bit about your process and how it works and, you know, talk about some of those philosophical issues and sharing some of those costs. That's really, really helpful. And I do appreciate it. So if anybody wants to have a little go themselves, if they're feeling inspired, having heard you talking about Suno, where do we find it?
It's suno.com. And you can sign up with an email address. You can sign up through Discord, through Google, and through your Apple account.
Okay. And anybody who wants to keep across what Darren Hartland is doing, what's the best way to do that?
On Suno particularly, suno.com/@TC Project.
At TC Project on Suno. Fantastic. Well, Darren Hartland, we appreciate you joining us and looking forward to hearing your next creation from Suno.
Thanks for having us.
Tune in, folks. It's Tech Talk time, where the code meets rhythm and words just rhyme. With Dave and Darren, it's a jazzy rhyme. Tech will never be more dignified. Tech will never be more dignified.
Thanks to Darren Hartland there, who created that stunning swing number with the help of Suno AI. We are at the end of another Tech Talk. Thank you very much for your company. Keen to hear where you listen to the program. Do you tune in to RNIB Connect Radio, or do you download us as a podcast? There are all sorts of ways to listen, of course, on your smart speaker, smartphone, all of that. And if you like what you hear, do leave a review and share with a friend. If you'd like to get in contact, it's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But from myself, Callum Stoneman, and Hubert Pavalkovich, until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye for now.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.